Your Bibles, turn with me, if you would please, first to the book of Jonah, chapter 1. Jonah, chapter 1, I want you to hold your finger there, and once you, or put your marker there or whatever, and then turn over to Matthew, chapter 12. Matthew, chapter 12. We are in our study on one greater than Jonah, and I hope you've enjoyed this. I've gotten a blessing from it, and I hope the Bible to me is so amazing, and I've been studying the Bible for, how many years? 45 years, and I had never seen a lot of the things I'm sharing with you in this study. I've never seen it. It's just so amazing, and one of the things I think we're going to do throughout eternity, I think the Bible is just, I think it's unfathomable. I don't think we can ever glean it all. And I think throughout eternity, we're going to be looking at the Word of God and just in amazement at what God has put in His Word. Going to read to you, this is part five, brother, part five, one greater than Jonah. I'm going to read to you first from the book of Matthew, Matthew chapter 12. And this is kind of our theme text for this study, beginning with verse 38. Then certain of the scribes of the Pharisees answered, saying, Master, we would see a sign from thee. And he answered and said unto them, An evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given to it, but the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonas was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. And stop right there just a minute. Jesus here is making it plain that Jonah was a type of him. Jonah in the Old Testament was a type of Jesus. Verse 41. The men of Nineveh shall rise in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it because they repented at the preaching of Jonah. And behold, a greater than Jonah is here. Look with me in the book of Jonah now. Jonah chapter 1. Jonah chapter 1, and we're going to begin reading with verse 3. And the Bible says, But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa. And he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof and went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, God, we thank thee tonight again for the opportunity that's ours to gather in thy house with thy people. And God, open the greatest book that's ever been written. To open, God, the sacred scriptures. And God, to look upon, thus saith the Lord. Oh God, what a joy and what a privilege it is. And I thank you, Father, for these who, God, see the need. And God, desire. To know what you teach and what you would have us to know. I pray, God, your blessings upon this service tonight. I ask you, God, to take complete control of this body, of my mind, of my heart, of my mouth. I pray, God, that you'll use me, God, as thy mouthpiece, as thy teaching tool, God, to carry forth, Lord, this blessing, at least it was to me, Lord, to thy people. I ask you, God, to give us wisdom, give us understanding, so that, God, we'll be able, Lord, to live our lives for you and to glorify you. And, God, when the troubles and the trials and the storms come, that, God, we can understand and have what we sang about just a while ago, victory in Jesus. God, you glorify thy Son. In Jesus Christ's name, we do pray. Amen. The title of our study is One Greater Than Jonah. Who is the one who is greater than Jonah?
Jesus Christ.
Now, y'all said it, but you didn't say it with enough fervor. Say it again.
Jesus.
There you go. Jesus. Jesus is the greater. And oh, how we're going to see that tonight at what we're looking at. Tonight, beloved, we're going to discover that Jesus is greater than Jonah in the storms of life. In the storms of life. You know, this life is full of storms, amen?
Amen.
I mean, and by that I mean troubles, trials, heartaches, hardships, sorrows, tears. And beloved, they come to us all. They come to everyone. You know, storms try our faith, don't they? Storms, beloved, discourage our hearts. Storms, beloved, weaken our resolve. Storms wreak havoc in our lives. So why do the storms come? Why do they come? I mean, why does God allow the storms of life to come and to beat against His people? What do storms accomplish? And how, beloved, are the storms of life abated? How are they abated? We're going to find the answers to all of these questions tonight as we look at Jonah and Jesus in the storm. And we're going to discover, beloved, that Jesus is indeed greater than Jonah. Amen?
Amen.
Jonah and Jesus were both, beloved, in a ship when a storm struck. Now, y'all remember, we just read about Jonah, but y'all remember that Jesus and his disciples were crossing the Sea of Galilee, and the Lord was asleep in the ship, and a great storm arose, and the disciples were fearful, and they ran, and they woke him up, and they said, "Lord, carest thou not that we perish?" So Jonah and Jesus, beloved, were both in a ship when a storm struck. Beloved, Jonah was a prophet of God, amen? Yet he went through a storm. A storm. Jesus was the Son of God, God incarnate. His disciples that were with him were followers of Christ, seeking to do God's will. Yet they too, beloved, went through a storm. Beloved, this tells me that storms, troubles, trials, tribulations, heartaches, heartbreaks, sorrows, beloved, these storms are no respecter of person. And I'm going to tell you, you hear all kinds of junk today. You hear people say, you hear these TV preachers say, "Oh, well, you know, God wants to bless you, and God's going to give you this and give you that, and you're not going to have troubles and trials anymore." Let me tell you something. Storms come to all kinds of people. Lost and saved. Lost and saved. They come to all. They come to the unjust and the just. They come, beloved, to the obedient and the disobedient. They come, beloved, to the lost and to the saved. They come to the righteous and to the unrighteous. Now, is this surprising to us? I mean, listen, we can understand storms coming to unbelievers, can't we? We can understand storms coming to the rebellious, coming to, beloved, the wicked sinner that's living in apart from God. But does it surprise us, beloved, that storms come to the godly as well as to the wicked? That storms come, beloved, to the lovers of God as well as the haters of God? That it comes to those who to the followers of Christ as well as those who don't follow? Storms come to everyone. They do, you know. And if you need any proof, just look at my life over the past, since March. I mean, they come. Really, it shouldn't surprise or shock us, folks. Because you see, we live, as Christians, we live in a world of storms. I mean, hey, we may be God's prophet like Jonah. We may be, beloved, following faithfully the blessed Son of God, like Peter and James and John were, beloved, in the 12. But we live in a world of storms, folks. We live in a world, beloved, that is under the curse of sin. And that, beloved, it is sin that brings the troubles and the trials and the sorrows and the heartaches and the pain. It's sin that brings these things. And we live in a world that's cursed by sin. Storms. Storms, beloved, are part of this world. I got news for you. The only way, now follow me, the only way to get away from the storms of this old sin-cursed world is to get out of it. That's it. To get out of it. You see, there is a place where there are no storms. There is a place, beloved, a perfect rest and peace from the storms of life. It's a place we call heaven. No storms are there, beloved. No storms, because there's no sin there. No curses there. And beloved, no storms in heaven, only peace and joy and life everlasting. You know, when Mama was so sick, when she was dying, I knelt beside her bed and I looked at her face. Face that I had looked at for 64 years. And there she was with a cerebral hemorrhage. There she was, beloved, in her last minutes on this earth, deathly, deathly sick. And I thought about her life. I thought about the hurt that she had experienced in her life. And the worry that she had known. I thought about, beloved, the pain and the suffering that she had endured for those 81 years. All the tears that she'd cried, all the trials and all the troubles and all the things that she had endured. And I thought about that. And the words of that old song came to my mind. And if I could have sung, I would have sung it to her. But I couldn't. So I just said the words, "Down here my burden's heavy, and the road is rough and long. Sometimes my feet get weary, and so sore. But a brighter day is coming. Soon I'll rest on heaven's shore, and I won't have to worry anymore. I won't have to worry when I reach the other shore. All my troubles will be over, and I'll rest forevermore. My eyes will be on Jesus, and my heart will be aglow, and I won't have to worry anymore." And I kept saying those words to her over and over and over again. Oh, listen, the only way to get away from the storms is to leave this world, beloved. But thank God there's a heaven where there are no storms. Amen. Somebody ought to shout. If I could get up and run a lap, I would. By the way, here's a lesson for you. If God tells you to run, you run. Because you might get like me where you can't run. Amen. If God tells you to shout, you shout. Because if you're liable to get I'll sort of say like Martha, but she can shout pretty good when she wants to. But anyway, but here the storms will come. It comes to even the saints of God. They will come. Believe me, I know. I know. Martha and I have been through the storms ever since March. One behind another, behind another, behind another. So that makes me a little bit, that much, of an expert on storms tonight. And what I'm talking about, I've experienced firsthand recently. Now, somebody says, "But wait a minute, preacher. Wait a minute. Preacher, God's got all power, amen? God could keep the storms of life away from us if he chose. Why does God allow the storms, the troubles and the trials and the sorrows to come to his people? Good question. Good question. Somebody said something. That's right. You're absolutely right. I mean, here was Jonah in a storm. Here was Jesus and the disciples in a storm. Why, beloved, did God allow them to go through those storms? Beloved, two things we can be sure of. First, God is good. Amen.
Amen.
Oh, man. God is so good. And I'm telling you, whatever storm comes in your life, don't you ever forget. No matter how bad it seems, no matter how high the waves are, no matter how the wind blows, that God is good. God is good. Second, what Keith just said, whenever God allows storms to come our way, it's for our good and it's for his glory. Romans chapter 8, verse 28. For we know that all things work together for good to those who love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. Boy, you know that is one of the great verses of the Bible. I'm telling you. Boy, I have fell on that verse weeping so many times in the last 4 months. All things. God has promised all things work together for my good and his glory.
Amen.
If we love him and is called according to his purpose. But let's look at the storms of Jonah and Jesus. And let's see why God allowed these storms to happen. Beloved, first, notice with me Jonah's storm. Beloved, Jonah's storm was allowed by God. You ready for this? Because he disobeyed.
That's right.
Amen? Because he disobeyed God. Beloved, God had told him to go and preach to the Nineveh. He was God's servant. He was God's man. He was a follower of Jehovah. And God commanded him to go and preach to the Ninevites. And he disobeyed. He would not go. He tried to run from God. And God sent or allowed the storm. God allowed the storm. He disobeyed God, folks. Think about that. Boy, we need to stop and take note at some of this. He knowingly, purposely went against the command of his God. Of his God. The God, beloved, who he had sworn to follow. The God that he had sworn to honor. The God that he had sworn to respect. The God that he called his God, beloved. The God who had blessed him beyond measure. Yet when that God said, go preach to the people of Nineveh, Jonah said, no. No, 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 thank you, God. No, I'll not do that, God. God, I'm going to do what I want to do. And he ran in disobedience to God. Can you imagine anybody doing such a thing? Of course you can. Because we see it all the time, don't we? We look in the Bible, we see where God tells us to love one another. But yet, beloved, those who call them God, who claim to be followers of God, won't love. We read in the Bible where he tells us to forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is. And those, beloved, who call on God, who can be here,
Amen.
Say, no, God,
that's right.
I'm going to do what I want to do. I'm going to do what I want to do.
Amen.
We see it all the time. Now here was Jonah and his God, the God that had blessed him with everything, said go, and he said, no, God, no, I won't go. Now you tell me, what was God to do? What was God to do? Let him get away with purposely, willingly disobeying his master? If you believe that, you don't know God. And I'm going to tell you, these folks, beloved, and I say this in all love because there's not a person in this church, in any church for that matter, that I don't love. But these folks, beloved, who believe, hey, I can disobey God and God's just going to let me get away with it. They're dreaming. They're living, beloved, in a dream that's going to turn into a nightmare. It's going to turn into a nightmare. What was God to do? Was he to ignore Jonah's disobedience? Was he to ignore Jonah's ingratitude to God after all God had done for him to say no to God? Was he to ignore his rebellion against his God? What was God to do? Well, preacher, yeah, God could have ignored his sin. I mean, he is a God of grace and mercy, preacher. Yes, he is. But beloved, God can't wink at sin.
That's right. Amen.
God can't ignore sin. And when I say that, I'm not talking just about in the lost. I'm talking about in Christians too.
Amen. That's right.
God can't. Look, God is a God of love and mercy, but God is also a God who is just. And a God who is holy, and a holy God cannot ignore sin. A holy God, a just God, cannot, beloved, wink at sin and as if it didn't happen. God is a God of grace and mercy, beloved. And he showed grace and mercy to Jonah. You say, preacher, how did he show grace and mercy? He didn't kill him. That was grace and mercy. You know what Jonah deserved for disobeying God? Death. So how do you get that, preacher? I mean, all he did was refuse to go to Nineveh. Yeah, but that was sin, and the wages of sin is what? Death. Death. Jonah deserved to die when he ran from God. And by the way, and I say this, and please don't misunderstand what I'm saying. Beloved, when we as Christians knowingly disobey God, whether it's not loving or not being faithful or not reading our Bible or not being witness, you know what we deserve? Death. Because that's sin. And the wages of sin is death. But God didn't kill Jonah. That was God's grace and mercy. Instead, beloved, listen, God allowed a storm to come Jonah's way. A storm. Oh, it was a terrible storm with terrible, terrible consequences because he ended up in the belly of a fish. But by going through that terrible trial, got Jonah to admit his sin. That's grace. That's grace, beloved. God was giving Jonah a second chance. That's mercy. He got Jonah to own up, beloved, to the vows that he had made to God. Look in Jonah chapter 2. Jonah chapter 2 and verse 9. Now this, Jonah's in the belly of the fish, and here's what he says. He says, but I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. You know what he's saying? Lord, I won't be ungrateful anymore for thy goodness. I'll show my gratitude by following you and loving you and obeying you. He says, I will pay the vows that I have vowed. In other words, God, I vow to follow you. I vow to honor you. I vow to love you. I vow to obey you, and I'll keep my vows. I'll keep my vows. I'll keep my vows. God, beloved, showed grace and mercy to Jonah. Jonah said, it's my fault this storm has come in my life. I'll pay my vows to God. I'll be grateful to God from now on. I'll obey God from now on. That's what he said. That's what he said. What does that tell us? It tells us, beloved, that when God allows storms into our lives. Now follow me. Sometimes it's because of purposeful disobedience in us. In us. Boy, we have lost the fear of God, people. That's why we have the empty pews. That's why, beloved, we have churches fussing and fighting with one another. You see, we've lost the fear of God. But we've got a God, beloved, who doesn't wink at our sin. And let me tell you, a lot of the storms that come in Christians' lives, beloved, is because of their disobedience to God, because they will not obey God. And they don't even realize that when that sorrow and that trouble and that trial comes, that's God allowing that to come. God didn't kill them. But God, beloved, listen, God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. That shall he reap. Listen to me, Christian. You don't knowingly, purposely disobey God and get away with it. You don't. You don't. I'm telling you, there are people paying, beloved, going through storms because of this very reason. God, beloved, is not mocked. Not even by his own people. Not even by Christians. When you got saved, when I got saved, beloved, we received Christ as our Lord and Savior. And let me tell you, whether we realize it or not, beloved, we made some vows to God. He became our God, our master. Beloved, listen, we vowed to follow him. We vowed, beloved, to make him Lord of our life. We vowed to obey him, to honor him, to respect him, for him to be our God. And then, beloved, we would turn around and say no to God. No to God? No, God, I won't be faithful to your house. No, God, I won't give my tithe. No, God, I won't love that person or forgive or tell others about Jesus. No, God, I don't want to walk in the Spirit. I want to walk in the flesh.
Come on, preach.
Now that tells me, beloved, we don't understand God.
That's right.
You don't say no to God and get away with it. He is long-suffering. He is a God of grace. But believe me, storms will come if we disobey. If we disobey. Now, what is God supposed to do? What is God supposed to do? The preacher. Grace. Have you forgot about grace, preacher? Folks, listen. Grace is not a license to disobey God. Grace, beloved, is not a get-out-of-jail-free card. Amen? It's not. God is dealing with us in grace when he doesn't destroy us the moment we disobey. God is showing his long-suffering to us. When he doesn't, beloved, take all that we have when we don't put our tithe in the plate.
Amen. That's right. Come on, preacher.
And you know he could do it? He could take everything you've got just like that. But he doesn't when you don't put your tithe into play. Beloved, listen to me. God is dealing with you in grace. In grace. When he only allows a storm to come your way after you have disobeyed him. After you've disobeyed him. Somebody says, preacher, are you really saying that God allows storms and trials and troubles and sorrows to come our way because we are disobedient and rebel against him? Sometimes. Sometimes. Sometimes that's why God allows the storms. Sometimes. That sure was why he allowed the storm, beloved, to come in Jonah's life. Amen? I mean, it's right there. You read it. That's why. But preacher, God's not like that. He's a God of love. Oh yes, he is. He is. And in love, he chastens us as children. Amen? In love, beloved, he allows storms sometimes to teach us right from wrong, to show us, beloved, our sin, to cause us to see our sin and realize what we have done to him. Jonah faced the storm and he knew that that was God's hand against him. He realized, beloved, his great sin. He saw the great God that he had sinned against. Oh, sometimes God allows the storms to come as an act of grace. As an act of grace to correct those that he loves. That he loves. But that's not the only reason storms come in the lives of believers. Beloved, sometimes they come. Now get this. This is going to blow you off your seat. Sometimes they come because we're doing the work of God. Because we're doing the work of God. That's the reason Jesus' storm came. That's why those disciples, beloved, found themselves in the midst of a storm. They weren't disobeying God. Certainly Jesus wasn't, nor, beloved, the disciples. Yet they were in a storm. Why? What had they done? Why did God allow that storm to pass over them as they were doing the work of God? That God might be glorified. Woo! Boy, I know. Please, I hope you grab a hold of this. I hope you do, because if you grab a hold of this, this is going to change your life, folks. That God might be glorified. Folks, sometimes God sends a storm because of disobedience, like Jonah. Sometimes, beloved, God sends a storm, beloved, that God might be glorified through us. Through us. And let me tell you, what a blessing. Y'all gonna think I'm crazy. What a blessing that is. Amen. That God, beloved, to be used of God for his glory. For his glory. That's what Job, by the way, that's what seen me through these 4 months. Because I knew God's getting glory from this. God's getting glory from this. God's using me, and through me, God's getting glory.
Amen.
That's what Job went through. Oh, that's why Job went through what he went through. The purpose of Job's suffering was to glorify God. And I've mentioned this before. Y'all bear with me as I've mentioned it again. But brethren, we got to grab a hold of it, because it's going to help you if you can grab a hold of it. Listen, God, beloved, made that plain in the book of Job. Listen, his friends gathered around him, and they accused Job of every sin in the world. I mean, Job, you're doing this. Job, you're doing that. Job, you're doing this and doing that. Job said, no, I haven't done that. I haven't done that. Listen, even God said Job, beloved, was upright and eschewed evil, that he was perfect in all of his ways. But his friend said, you've done this and you've done this and you've done this. Then at the end of the book, God shuts them up and God speaks to Job. And God says, Job, where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? Turn in your Bibles, Job chapter 38 real quick. Job chapter 38. I'm going to read just a few of these verses. I could read the whole chapter, but let's just look at a few of them. Verse 4. God says to Job, Where was thou when I laid the foundations of the earth? Declare if thou hast understanding. Look at verse 7. He says, when the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy. In other words, when I created the angels, where were you, Job? Where were you? He goes on and look in verse 9 of this chapter. When I made the clouds, the garment thereof, and the thick darkness, a swaddling band for it, and break up for it my decreed place, and set bars and doors. Where were you, Job? Where were you? Where were you? Look at verse 25 and 26. Who has divided the water course for the overflowing of waters, or a way for the lightning or thunder to cause it to rain on the earth where no man is, on the wilderness where there is no man, to satisfy the desolate and waste ground and to cause the bud of the tender earth to spring forth? He said, who did that, Job? Can you do that? God did that.
Amen.
God do that. You know what God was saying to Job? Job, all this suffering, it's not about you. It's about me. It's about me. Where were you? It's not even about you, Job. It's about me. This has all happened to you to bring glory to me. To bring glory to me. All the storms in Job's life, and oh, they were terrible. Beloved, all those storms were allowed to bring God, bring glory to God. Beloved, what an honor God gave to Job that God allowed him to suffer.
Amen.
For God. For God. Somebody says, preacher, I don't understand. God allows us to suffer for his sake. Preacher, that's not something I want to do. Then you don't love him like you should. Then you don't love him like you should. You love yourself more than you love God. Amen? And so, and think about that. You love yourself more than you love God. Beloved, no, listen, nobody enjoys sickness. Nobody enjoys sorrow. Nobody enjoys trials. Nobody enjoys trouble. No one does. But if we truly, truly love God, we want him to be glorified in us. And brethren, if it can be through sickness or sorrow or troubles or trials, let it come. Let it come that my God be glorified. And we're willing to suffer for his sake. For his sake. Let me ask you. Do you love your children? Of course you do. Of course you do. Do you love them enough to suffer for them? Of course you do. I guarantee you there's not a parent or a grandparent in here. If your children or grandchildren were hungry and you had one little mouthful of food left, you wouldn't give it to them, and you would suffer for them. Why? Because you love them that much. Beloved, if we truly love God as we should, we are willing to suffer that he be glorified. That he be glorified. Now, we may not fully understand this now. It's hard to understand now. But let me tell you, beloved, when we stand before him face to face and we look upon him who suffered for us and we see those nail prints in his hand and we realize the great price that he paid, beloved, to purchase our redemption. Beloved, when we look upon him and we see the way Christ suffered for you and for me, we're going to be so glad that he allowed us to suffer a little bit for him. Woo! To suffer for him. Boy, when you see those nail prints, you're going to cry. You know that? You're going to cry. When you realize that he took those nails. And we can't quite grasp it in our minds here. But when we see it, oh. And we're going to be so glad that he, beloved, allowed us to suffer a little bit for him. For him. We'll count it all joy that we were allowed to suffer. Turn in your Bibles, John chapter 9. John chapter 9. John chapter 9. Look with me, beginning with verse 1. And Jesus passed by. He saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin? This man or his parents that was born blind? Jesus answered, Neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. Woo, that's good, ain't it?
Yes.
Beloved, listen, Jesus passed a man who was born blind. had never seen the light of the sun, beloved. His disciples saw this pitiful creature and the terrible storm that he was going through. And beloved, they began to jump to conclusions. They said, they thought to themselves, either this man has sinned or his parents have sinned. And they said, who sinned, Lord? This man or his parents, that he should go through such a terrible storm, such a terrible tragedy. Jesus said, neither this man nor his parents have sinned, but that the mighty works of God should be made manifest in him. In him. In other words, he was born blind that God might be glorified, that the world might see the power of the mighty God, of the mighty God. Was God glorified in the storm that Jesus and the disciples went through?
Yes.
Oh, yes, beloved. Those disciples were scared to death. They weren't thinking about God. They were thinking about their lives. They were about to perish. The waves were beating in and they were terrified. And they ran to where he was and said, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And the Bible says Jesus stood up. And he looked out, beloved, over that sea, and he said, peace, be still. And beloved, those waves just died. And it was as smooth as glass. And they looked at that and they said, oh, have you ever seen such power as that? Have you ever seen anything like that? Who is this man? This man that even the winds and the waves obey him. And God was glorified. They were amazed at what Jesus could do. What did they say? I'm going to turn over to Mark 4. Mark 4. I just quoted, but I'll say it again. And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, what manner of man is this that even the winds and the sea obey him? They never knew his power till the storm came. And guess what, folks? You will never understand the power of God till the storms come in your life. Woo! Till the storms come in your life. When you see, and I'm not going to rehash this, when you see four prayers answered through a woman in a coma, dying. Until you see that, you'll never understand. Or something like that, you'll never understand the power of prayer. You'll never understand the power of the Almighty God. You'll never understand it. When others see you going through that storm, beloved, and your faith is solid. Oh, listen, and they see, beloved, you praising God instead of dismaying. They see you, beloved, worshiping him instead of running and hiding. They see you, beloved, and trusting him, beloved, and leaning on him. Beloved, God is glorified. God is glorified. And they'll say, what a God they have. What a God they serve. Oh, he must be real, and he must be powerful, and he must be wonderful. Look how they trust him. Look how they trust him. Oh, sometimes the storms come that God might be glorified. Glorified. But how do we stop the storms when they come? Jonah's storm was stopped when he confessed his sin and repented. Bible says, beloved, we read it a while ago, I will offer the thanksgiving and I will keep the vows I have made. He repented and God caused the fish. Next verse, God caused the fish to vomit him up. Now follow me. Beloved, if God reveals to you, if you're going through a storm, and God reveals to you, not somebody else, like Job's friends, Listen, if you've got sin in your life, God will reveal it to you. If you seek it with an seek Him with an honest heart, He'll reveal it to you. If God reveals to you, not somebody else, but to you, that the storm is in your life because of sin, then, beloved, that's what you do. You repent. And you turn back to God. You turn back to God. You say, preacher, will the storm end? May not. But if you do that, God will give you what you need to see you through the storm. Amen? God will see you through what you need. Now, the Bible, you know, it don't tell us that the moment Jonah repented, the fish threw him up. It don't tell us. He might have prayed. He was in that fish for 3 days. He might have prayed that prayer the first day, and it might have been 2 days later. But God gave him the grace, amen, to see him through. To see him through. You confess your sin. You repent. You turn back to a merciful God, beloved. And listen, that God hears. And He'll have mercy on you, amen. Now, if your sin is allowed to glorify God, then here's what you do. You submit to Him. Tell Him, Lord, use me for Thy glory. Use this for Thy... Teach me what I need to know. Teach me, God. And then, if it be Your will, deliver me from the storm. Deliver me from the storm. Last week was my fourth storm since March. And I was hurting so bad. So bad. And I got down again. I couldn't get down. But I bowed my head to pray. And this was not me. I'm not this smart, okay? This was the Holy Ghost praying through me. But I'm going to tell you the words I prayed. And I never thought of it till I opened my mouth. This is what came out. I got down to pray, and this is how I prayed. Lord, You got a purpose for this. And God, I'm not asked You to heal me. I ask You, Lord, instead to glorify Thy name through this. Glorify Thy name through this. And God, when it's accomplished all that You desire it to accomplish, then, if it's Your will, heal me. Heal me. I submitted to Him. To His will. God, You use this to Your glory. And then, once it's done everything You want it to do, then, if it's Your will, heal me. Heal me. Beloved, when the storms come, that God be glorified. Pray that He be glorified and look to Jesus. Look to Jesus. How was the storm defeated that the disciples went through? Beloved, they looked to Jesus. They called to Jesus, Lord, Lord, carest Thou not that we perish? Lord, save us, is what they were saying. And they learned that their faith was weak. Because what did Jesus say? Oh, ye of little faith. It accomplished God's purpose. And then He spoke the words, peace, be still. And the storm was gone. Whoa, ain't that great? That's the way to stop the storms, folks. Confess your sin if that's the cause. And beloved, if not, if it's for God's glory, submit to Him. Submit to Jesus. Call on Him to save you. Once His glory is manifest. Once His glory is manifest. Jonah went through a storm. So did Jesus. Who's the greatest? Boy, that's weak.
Jesus.
Listen, beloved, Jesus went through the storm doing the will and work of God. Jonah went through the storm in disobedience. In disobedience. Storms will come into our lives, into the best of Christians. The very best. When the storm comes to you, who do you want in your boat? Jonah or Jesus? Jesus. I'll take Jesus. Amen. Amen. Let's bow our heads. Brother Keith, would you close us?